has to be worked on. Right? Still today, 38 years later. I try to love her like Christ so loved the church. I try to do things that I listen to her, and when I feel like she's coming out of her right spirit, I'll take heed to it. If it's don't spend that, don't spend it. But now my wife ain't going to run my house. She's not anointed to tell me what to do. Or quiet. She's not anointed to be running the house. That's backwards. Adam was created first, then Eve. Made her as a helpmate. They might be smarter than the husband. That's got nothing to do with it in this kingdom. This kingdom is different. The Bible says for the woman to be in submission. But the Bible says for the man not to be dumb. Not to make dumb choices. They don't say that, but I'm just saying it. If I love her, I don't want her in a mess all the time. I don't want her financially burdened down all the time. I don't want her where she's got to carry a calculator to the grocery store. Ain't nothing wrong with a calculator at the grocery store. But I want us together make decisions that our life gets really good, that we don't have to have that because we made good decisions. You know, Teresa, I mean, I make choices in the business to spend money, you know, because I feel led. Somebody say feel led. It's a difference in flesh and led. And she's told me before, I don't think you need to buy that. We're already stressed over here. And I tell her, well, I didn't ask you. I feel like the Lord wants me to. Now, I'm going to take on the responsibility, if I'm missing the Lord, that I will fix what a mess I got you into. And so I've stepped out, and it panned out. I was supposed to do it, and it blessed all of us. It blessed everybody, praise God. See why? Because victory's already ours. But we have to grow up. We have to grow. We need to be continually pressing toward the mark like Paul was talking about. Continually pressing to make our marriages better in the Lord. To make our relationships with our kids and our grandkids good. You know, Satan's out to steal, kill, destroy. He would like to tear down families. He loves divorce. He loves for me to get out of love, like Teresa was talking about, and just be flesh carnal man at home. To where Satan can just run and rule and reign at home and do what he wants to do. Whether you believe that or not, the Bible says for us to be sober, be vigilant, be sober. Because our adversary, the devil, is roaming to and fro. He is roaming to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for somebody to devour. That means he can't just devour everybody. I'm one of them. I don't know about you. He's scared of me. And that makes some people nervous. Boy, who does Scotty think he is? A child of the Most High, anointed. Satan stripped. He's under my feet. Greater is he that's in me. There ain't nothing arrogant about that. That means that I don't beat my wife no more. That means that I don't commit adultery anymore. That means that I do my best to keep my eyes off of naked women. Beach, marketplace, it don't make no difference. I've got to live with me. I've got to have my conscience clear before the Lord. And women, don't look at men. I'm not talking about, you know, don't look at them. You know what I'm saying? Inappropriately. Don't lust after men. Don't lust after women. There's a spirit of lust in this planet. It's called satanic forces. And then there's fear that comes. It'll try to work on these two right here, and I'm not prophesying negative. But they done heard the word, you hearing the word, and taking the word in, and everything. It's kind of like going by your 12-gauge shotgun. You don't go home without a box of shells. Unless you just want it for a souvenir, get you a box of shells, go in there, and if you like me, load it up. Mine's loaded in the gun cabinet. That way I ain't got to fiddle around in there. I can go bust the window right quick and grab me out two or three loaded guns. It'll get the job done if I was to need it. Well, that's the way the Word of God is. See, it keeps compiling what we are, victory, on the inside of us. We might not even know we need it right now. And then there'll come a time down the road whenever things will happen and the enemy will attack and people will attack and then you need what you went and bought. You paid a price for it. How to do that? You come to church. You open your heart to Jesus. You got plugged in like Teresa was talking about in ministry. See, if ministry was just easy, everybody would do it. Everybody would. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, I'd like to be on the praise team, come to practice. Well, I'd like to be on, I already played, come to practice. Well, I already played, no, come to practice. In other words, you ain't getting on the stage till you come to practice. I mean, is that mean or what? No, it ain't. It's called show me. Show me you can be faithful to practice. Because if you can't be faithful to practice, I'm not talking about if you got to work. You know what I'm saying? If you can be faithful and you ain't, let me put it that way, well, then you don't qualify for this praise team. You don't qualify for this church to take it over and pastor it. If you want ministry, you must work until you are faithful. Faithful sick, faithful raining, faithful snowing, faithful when gas is high, faithful when you have to jump borrow a jump box, and you got to put a tire on it, and your kids are going to be sweaty. I heard it. I heard dedication is what I heard. I heard that I'm going. I've missed too much. I'm going. Well, he qualifies. I would pick him. I'd pick on him to do whatever I need him to do. Why? Because he qualifies. It's not that I set the qualifications. The Bible does. Give these things to faithful men. Faithful. That's able to teach. What can you teach? Just live any way you want to. And God understands if you can't be faithful. And, you know, God understands. Teach my grandkids to cuss. They're just kids. No, they're not kids. They are children of the Most High God. And I don't laugh at cussing with one of my grandkids says a cuss word, it better be changing it. It's not okay with God, and it's not okay with Papa. And Papa's going to have a little higher standard than this world around my grandkids and my kids. I mean, it's a little hot in here, is it? Y'all okay? I feel heated up. Well, these things are life-changing and serious and generations. Travis had lied like he is because of the way I raised him and the standards I set before him and the things I wouldn't let him do that were contrary to this Bible, knowing that one day he's going to be the next generation that picks the baton up, knowing that at 5 years old that he could be the next big evangelist that goes around the world. And if I don't mold him and make him, then he ain't going. And then God's going to say, I gave you him. I gave you him. And no, you're not perfect, but you had standards in that Bible that I wanted you to show him how to be a father, how to be a leader. I've had to train him to be a leader. I'm training y'all to be leaders. How are you doing that? Be faithful to church. Well, I mean, it's only off day we got. Quit your job. Quit. You used to quit. Then you got saved. Now you can't quit for Jesus. See, this is the world. I mean, the Christian people, they don't like the way that I'm preaching right now. But them sinners out there, boy, if I go to church, I'm going to get in there regular. I don't care if I have to quit my job. If I'm going to get my life changed, I'm going after God. They know better than Christians. They know they're messed up. They know their life's messed up. They know they need to go to church to get born again. It's the Christians that has a problem. We get the blessing flowing if we're not careful in our life, and then we begin to trip over it, like Monty said, and trip over it. And before you know it, if Monty ain't careful, Monty could be skipping some church to enjoy the motor scooters the Lord gave him, or the house, or the cool yard you got. I mean, he's already wanting to move the yard. He's wanting a dozer. I'm like, Monty, he would leave the house sitting on a ridge if he had a dozer over there. I could just see it. He said, I'm going to move it. I'd like to move this around here. And I'm thinking, you can't move the house. So you're going to move the mountain around it. How are you going to get in your house? And I'm sure he'd build a ramp. I'm like, just leave the yard alone, man. Mow it. Y'all are bomb making me want to get a dozer over here so you don't got a ridge up over your house on it. Y'all can't get to it. Because I don't even think you thought about that. How am I going to get in the house? But he's wanting a level driveway. Well, you just can't have it. You go get it. Praise God. But see, victory's already ours. Give me that scripture, Romans 12, please. See, if we don't renew our mind, God told me one time, and I thank God I'm brainwashed. I really do. He told me one time, he said, he's talking about the kingdom, the Bible stuff. He got it in his thinking, you know, that the Bible's brainwashing, you know, like in a negative sense, you know, brainwashing. And so I looked at him and I said, you know what? I said, according to that Bible, I need my brain washed. I said, I've been thinking wrong about my wife, about women, about drugs, about life and everything. I said, I've been thinking wrong. I said, I'm reading that Bible and it says for me to put on the mind of Jesus. I said, I don't see Jesus, if he was married, doing what I done. You know, but it says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, and so renewing the mind transforms our life if it goes past head knowledge. You can have head knowledge, and how that happens, the Bible says in James, it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. It says deceiving ourselves. So that means that we can, you know what to do and not do it, keep resisting it, and get deceived. Deceived is, I think I'm okay when I'm not. That's what being deceived is. I think I'm okay, but I'm really not okay. So deception will slip in to a person that is not a doer of the word. They're a student of the word. See, it's got to go past head knowledge till it gets in your heart. To give you an example. Now, I mean, it was pretty quick that I had a revelation about finances for us personally. Nothing else. I mean, just, I just saw, you know, if I honor God, man, he'll bring us out. He'll get us a house, you know. I mean, I started knowing that I would be successful, you know. So I started giving and all of that. And it was about every time I'd give something away, Teresa would get mad. We could use that money. We could use, you know. She didn't have a revelation yet how the way I did, you know. And I would tell her, I said, no, man, this is the way up. This is, I said, I told her one time, I said, we've been going the other way for a long time. I said, now, look what the word says. That he will open the windows of heaven up for us. He'll pour out a blessing that we won't have room enough to receive it. I said, see, we got to believe this. We got to believe this and not what our finances are saying or not what everybody around us is saying or whatever, you know. I said, we got to do this. Well, still, I mean, every time I'd give something away or something like that, tithing didn't bother. But, you know, giving something away or money or whatever, it'd get on her nerves. And we'd have little conversations about it often, real often, because I was giving stuff away often. Really, it looked like I could sell it and get us in good shape, but I mean, God, that was the way. But anyways, all of a sudden, a couple of years down the road, I come in. She had been listening to a series on giving by Keith Moore. She had been listening to it and took all day long, you know. Well, it got her. It hit her. All of a sudden, the same thing that I've got and been telling her for 2 years hit her. Just all of a sudden. Now, she knew it. She knew it all along. But she was anti-giving. She was against me giving. See, we can know to be faithful, but we got to be faithful. We got to be that way. Just like I set out my grandkids. I'm not just telling you my story. This Bible changes me. This Bible changed me after I got grandkids. I'd never had grandkids. I'd seen people raise their grandkids and been around their grandkids, but I never had grandkids. So I wanted to know how God wanted me to be a grandfather. Not how all the grandfathers out there that, I mean, they used to teach me to cuss, you know, and I'm standing in the pool hall and them guys would get me all stirred up and I'd start cussing them out down there, 6 years old, standing up in the chair at the pool hall and Dad just laughing about it. That boy's funny, ain't he? That boy should have been busted. Come on, somebody. That boy should have been busted. Right there in there. But my dad taught me to do it. By letting me cuss. You're teaching them by letting them. You don't have to get you out of a chalkboard and say, yep, I'm Paw, I'm going to teach you to cuss. No. You teach them when you let them and you don't hold a standard. To my knowledge, Travis has never heard me say a cuss word. Have you, son? He ain't never heard me in 30 years say one cuss word. 30 years. I've cussed. He didn't hear it. And y'all are quiet. This is good. This ought to give you hope. This ought to give you future. This ought to give you, if God can do it to him. I was a Blount County cusser. I would have taught Travis. Y'all wouldn't have liked Travis. He'd have had long hair. I mean, he'd have looked like a hippie. And he would have been mean. He would have been one that would bust your teeth out if he don't like the way you're looking at him. I mean, I was going to let him help him be a man. I got born again. Guy bullying him on the bus. Everybody saying, that school bus driver, that teacher down there, blah, blah, blah. They're not there to teach my kid. That's not their problem. My kid shouldn't have to be controlled by a school bus driver on that bus. That kid should be well-mannered when he hits that bus. Bless God, and if he or she gets out of the way, I'm talking about Christians now. We're Christians, right? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm talking about the school bus now. I'm talking about school down there. I'm talking about the bullies down there. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. This creates an anointing in your life when you do it. And it puts Satan in his place wherever they are. Well, I'm down there and I'm telling the Lord, I didn't teach him how to fight. I'm sure he can fight. I've never seen him. I'd whip him if he did. I'd help them whip him. I taught him to love. I taught him to respect people. I taught him to forgive. I taught him all of these things. Why? Because I've quit being conformed to the world. The world taught me the world's way. The Bible teaches me God's way. In God's way, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And so when I wasn't doing it God's way, I would get miserable on the inside. If you ain't never been miserable yet as a Christian, you've been close to the Lord. You're doing good. But when you go to drifting away from that fellowship, you begin to get miserable. You begin to need something to fill your life, to feel good, to give you pleasure. That's a lack of the Spirit of God in my life, moving in my spirit. That's a lack of fellowship with Him. That's a lack of doing His will. When I don't do God's will, I begin to feel drained on the inside. I don't feel good. I feel guilty. I feel, you know, but when I'm doing the will of God, I feel good. I feel like Samson. I feel like, you know, I can tote the gates of the city. I feel like there's nothing I can't accomplish. Even dealing with Travis. Well, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't let them bully him now. That's just not going to happen. I just can't do it. So I'm 28 years old down there, 29, whatever I was, young Travis. Maybe I was 30. I was in my early 30s. And so I thought, okay, I'm just going to teach him just for this one incident, because if I teach him for this one incident and he makes a show of them openly on the bus, then it'll send a signal to everybody else that wants to pick on him that they better not pick on him. And then if the school gets mad, I'll go to the school and tell them, put me in jail. I've been there before and I'm not scared to go now. If y'all can't control this little heathen, I can't. Well, I'm thinking like the world now. And so then the Lord says, I heard the Lord, he said, teach him to love. I thought, that's not it. That can't be it. Because I'm wanting to get him down, you know, and I mean, I'm wanting to teach him the moves, you know, and get the good uppercut. I used to get an uppercut in, you out. I'm a short guy. I could just jump, pop up, boom. I mean, I know, I hit right under the chin. I knock you out. You know, so I thought, well, I'll teach him that uppercut. You won't have to beat him up too bad. You know, just jump up, pop up, poof, uppercut, and lay him across two seats back through there, you know. And so the Lord said, teach him to love. And then I had to go through the emotions. I'm not just telling you a story. I'm telling you what the Holy Spirit was leading me to victory. When I thought victory was this other way, this carnal way, this way to show him he's not a pushover. He's like his daddy and mama. We're not pushovers. You never, you know. But God was saying, no, you were pushovers. Now you're not pushovers because you walk in love now. He said, that's why you're not pushovers, and that's why he's not pushovers. So I taught him to love, and I told him, I said, you fight one time in school, and you're going to get it when you get home. You forgive him. That was hard because I felt like it killed all the pride that I had of being a Weston. Weston really died in Blount County. Let his kids get run over. No, ended up, he did what I said and everything. However, out of fear, whatever, I'm sure he wanted to kill him. But you know what? They became best friends. They would have never became best friends if I'd have taught him to do what I used to do in the world. That would have not happened. That would have been a bad example as a Christian. That would have been in Travis going around cussing. That would have been a bad example as a Christian. Let alone me being a pastor. I don't put pressure on him. He told me one time, he said, Dad, he said, I just can't live up to your standards. And I told him, I said, I've not put no standards on you, son. I said, I don't know what you're talking about. I just live for Jesus. If my life is convicting you, it ain't because I've got high standards. It's because I've got some biblical standards. I got some faith that I'm going to stand in. I got some get down and get under the anointing and grace when I need it, when the plowing gets tough. I got, just like yesterday, I finally got a machine up there, and I took down a big tree. I missed my tree, Johnny. It was 38 inches across, red oak. I mean, beautiful tree. I mean, perfect. I mean, just almost perfect all the way to the top. And I've looked at that tree for 15 years. I like that tree, you know. And all of a sudden, here comes the grandkids along. Now we got to have a swimming pool. Now it takes Teresa a year and a half to figure out where she wants to put the swimming pool. It takes about a year to figure it out. She finally figured out she wants it right there. And guess what's in the way? My big oak tree is right there where she wants that swimming pool. And I got a water line that I run years ago going up to my chicken house, you know, up there to, and all of that. And guess what? It's under there. And so I'm like, oh, man. I said, okay. So now I get the tree down, and I get the equipment up there. And I spent about 4 or 5 hours, and I couldn't budge it. I mean, I still couldn't budge this stump. This thing is huge, heavy, growed down in the rock. I shut it down, which it was hot, you know. I shut it down and went down there, and I said, I don't know about that stump. I said, I can't move that stump. She said, you just need to rest. I said, what? What's resting going to do? The backhoe's been doing it. She said, you need to rest. So I just kicked off my clothes, went in there and sat down on the couch. I said, she's right. But God, I've never seen a stump yet, I ain't. See what I'm saying? The anointing kicks in. Once the anointing kicks in your life, see, when we're doing our best to be yielding to the Lord and yielding His way and yielding, these things kicks in even if it's a stump. Like God, I mean, I sat there and I thought, that stump is coming up. Like God, that baby's coming out of there. Praise God, it's coming out. And so I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm going back to that stump, Lord. I said, I need you to help me get that stump out. That stump's in the way of our vision here. I need that stump out, Lord. Travis, he comes up there and he said, if you get it out, can you move it? Will you be able to move it? And I said, I don't know yet. I said, it's coming out. I'll get it. And finally, I got that thing broke loose. I had to go up under it and dig all the rocks out of it. It's growed in the rocks, man. I mean, huge boulders in it. My point to being, that stump came out and gone. But you know what? I could have shut her down and just said, I can't do it. I can't do it. I mean, there's no such thing as Cain in that Bible. You can be faithful. You can be a faithful husband. You can be a faithful wife. You can be a faithful mother. You can be faithful. You can be faithful in ministry. There's nothing impossible to those that believe, Mark 9:23. All things are possible to those that believe. But those that don't believe, stumps will get you. Extra car payment will get you. A week off, 10 days off will get you. You know. Krista told me yesterday, she said, you got to go back to work. I said, I've been working. Talking about garage doors. I said, I took a week off to get some stuff done around here. I worked harder on vacation than I did working. Why? My place is going to be like I want it. But God, I don't care what I have to do, Travis. He said, think you'll be able to move it? I said, if I can, I said, I'll get a track hoe over here. Well, I'm determined that stump's coming up. But God, I mean, this is going to happen. That's my vision. I'm not just trying to tell you my story. I'm not going to let a rock or a stump stop me. I'm not going to let my body tell me I can't follow Jesus. I'm not going to let the world tell me that I got to raise Travis and let him be funny and be a kid. And it's funny to laugh at him cussing. I don't care what they say. I told a guy one time, I said, I didn't ask you how to raise my kid. I said, that Bible tells me, train my child up in a way he should go, and even when he's old, he will not depart. I said, that's what I'm going to do. I don't know what your standards are, but I know what that Bible says, and I can rely on it every night. I can go there, and it don't give me an opinion. It gives me the truth. It gives me something solid that will work in my son's life. And I did it from the time he was 5 years old. Confessed it over him, bless God. Confessed that he would get a godly wife, and he did. Beth was already saved, and he kind of messed her up a little when after they got saved. I mean, she was doing fine. I mean, after they got married, she was doing real, real good. I don't think she'd been a sinner past being born, and Travis trying to get her to sin and everything. He got to go sow his oats. That's what that guy told me. You know, they're going to sow their oats. They shouldn't have no wild oats. Right? They got wild oats. They got it out of the world. How'd they get it out of the world at my house? I don't know. It must have let it in. Travis told me one time, he said, Dad, I'm moving out. Don't like rules. Didn't like rules, Johnny. Imagine that. And I said, listen to me. I said, you're free right now, and Satan's trying to bind you. I said, you're free. I said, we all go to bed at 10 o'clock. Right? We eat supper at 5. We eat dinner at 12. We've been doing it your whole life. And now you feel bound by rules? I told him, I said, son, they tell me to pay the light bill, and I pay it. I said, or I sit in the dark. That's rules. I said, when you get out on your own, you're going to have rules. You're going to be told what to do. The Alabama Power is going to tell you. The water, he didn't pay his water bill one time. They cut it off and charged him a $95 reconnect fee, wasn't it? 95 smackles. Whew. You know, boy, he's a gripe, gripe, gripe.
I'm telling you, $95, man.
I heard it for 2 days. I worked with him. Finally, I got tired of it. I said, who didn't pay the light bill, the water bill? I said, who did? Who was paying it? Well, I forgot it. I said, said, that ain't their fault. Tell them to shut up. I mean, what else am I going to tell you? Bunch of dirt bags down there, all they want is my money. They didn't ask you not to pay your bill, and you was glad to buy that water. Just turn it off, and you'll see how blessed you really are. Turn it off. Gripe about $60 a month. Just cut it off. And then you won't be griping. You'll be going back to the old days, finding you a spring somewhere to go down there and haul you some water to take a bath. Y'all okay? Should I get on the blessing or what? I'm on it. The blessing of the Lord is on the renewed mind that's yielding the way that God. See, everybody's, Travis, he told me, he said, I can't live up to your standards. I said, I've not put no standards on you, son. Satan's made you think that. But you know what? If I can get under this anointing and I can do all that I do in the name of Jesus through the grace of God, there's not one man on this planet or one woman that can't do it. I was a quitter, a failure, a flunk. And now you can't get me to quit, fail. I don't believe in failing. I don't believe in quitting, man. I believe in I believe in following through. How many knows if you follow through? My brother, he went down, come over yesterday, and I set a roll of hay on his trailer. He said, hey, did you ever get that little mud hole down there, water in it? I said, oh, yeah. I said, come on, let's go ride and look at it. We go down there, and we pull down. That thing's full, you know, deep. He thought it would never hold water. He said, man, you backed that water all the way up in here. I said, no, look at all that. I said, I took that loader. When I got that loader, I said, I spent hour after hour. I said, I dug it deep. I said, instead of trying to fix the dam, I dug it deep. I said, I just dug it and hauled it out. Breakdowns and all that kind of stuff. I got it done. He said, man, this is beautiful down here. He said, you done got fish? I said, oh, yeah, man, I got catfish in there, got bream in there. I said, I'm going to put the cottage up here somewhere. I said, Teresa's got me sidetracked right now. I got to get that swimming pool up in that little building she bought 7 months ago, 8. I said, right now I'm kind of distracted on this. So I'm over there, and I'm focused, and I'm going to get it done. Well, I'm tired when I come in. I don't know. Hey, that's up to you, horse. I know what tired is. Went in the other night, about 7:35, 8 o'clock. Teresa, you taking a shower? I said, I'm too tired.
You're not going to bed like that. You're not getting on my therapeutic bed with that sweat all over. You're going to take a shower. That was a question to start with, but it turned into your answer.
I was like, well, baby, I feel better already. Look, God, I'm just going to get me a cold shower, baby. I feel good now. I got under the anointing. I went home, got me a bath, man. I know what tired is, like God. I told her, I said, I'm not coming back in here, honey. I'm going to bed. It's early. I said, I know. It's early. Work will make you want to go to bed early. You don't want to sit up all night long. If you're tired, wore out, man. You know good and well, 5 o'clock coming again, you better get in the bed. I used to sit up and game till 2 in the morning and go in. You know, nah, man, I can't do it anymore. I ain't going to do it anymore. I go to bed at 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. 10:30 at the latest, praise God. And you know what? Get you 8 hours sleep. Then you're ready to rock and roll. You're ready to go turn some wrenches for somebody, man. Hallelujah. So don't be conformed to this world. Mark 4 over there talks about the word. The sower sows the word. Now see, the word goes in. There it is. The word goes in us if we let it stay. The Bible says in Proverbs, it said, guard our hearts, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know, and Teresa brought up selfishness this morning. And that's one of the number one killers of love. That's one of the number one destroyers in a marriage. Marriage is not 50-50. Marriage is 100% for Jesus, 100% for Jesus. And both of us, Teresa used to say it like this. It's like a pyramid when you start out. You know, you're way away from the Lord. But the more you go towards the Lord, the closer y'all both, one on one side, one on the other, the more you both go after the Lord, the closer you get together. And I have found that to be true. When I'm spiritually up, I feel I love her more. I know I don't, but you know, I just feel different. I feel better. I mean, I told her the other day, I said, baby, I drove across states for you. I did. Told my mama, he's over there on the job I took over yonder, St. Petersburg, Florida, my brother. Stayed down there a couple of weeks. going to get married and move down there, and Teresa's up here. And so I told Mom, I said, hey, Mom. She said, yeah, it's Thursday. I said, I'm getting my check in the morning. I said, and I said, if you're going with me, I said, you will be packed in the car when I get home. Now, we need to stay. I said, if you're going with me, I said, you will be in the car and packed when I get home. I said, I'm not even taking a shower. I said, I'm going to Alabama. I got in. Car was packed. Thank God we took off to Alabama. We on our way. Why? Because Teresa was there. I ain't seen her in 2 weeks, and this is over, praise God. Well, you know, you want to still feel that way after 38 years. I told her the other day, I said, baby, whatever you want, I don't care what state it's in. I drive all the time. I probably drive 2,000 or 3,000 miles a week, and I do that for money. But, baby, I will drive anywhere you want to go for nothing. You think I'm kidding? I do it too, praise God. So I want to encourage you. Let the Word of God get in there and become alive to you, praise God. And a lot of times how you do that, the Lord told me one time, showed me this way one time. I'd go out there and dig my seed up. Every time I'd dig a seed up, that plant would die. You know, I wanted to see if my seed's coming up. And the Lord told me, he said, you're killing it by digging it up. He said, leave the seed alone. But I was anxious to see the fruit, you know. He said, leave it alone. And so then I was reading in that parable in Mark 4 over there, and where it says the cares of this world, and it has not much root. And when I got to that, I could see that. I could see the Lord telling me, he said, you don't let the word take root. He said, if the word don't take root in your heart, cares will get it. Trouble will get it. Persecution will get it. He said, it'll get you is what it'll do. Won't get the word. He said, when it comes, it'll bring you down. And I experienced that. I experienced that happening every time. And I'd feel like, man, every time I start doing good, something else happens. You know, and then the Lord showed me that, and I thought, oh, okay, Lord, I see. I'm letting the enemy steal the word. I'm letting the cares of this world, trouble, work, trouble at home, you know, I'm letting it steal the word that it becomes unfruitful. Then I seen the verse 20, and it says, but these are on good ground, which hears the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit. Those are the ones that gets the results of the kingdom. So let the word of God bear fruit. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord,